We know that Minhag Yisrael and the customs that are found in Klal Yisrael are part of our legacy and have to be treated with a tremendous amount of weight, that every individual's family has their own minhagim. When it comes to eating of milchiks on Shavuos, there are many, many different minhagim. Some people eat a meal, milchik meal the night, some people the day, some people have a milchik kiddush. There are many different minhagim. And I'd like to begin with a disclaimer. Before we even talk about what are some of the mindsets and reasons and what we should be thinking about when we prepare and when we actually eat a milchik meal on Shavuos, and thereby get into a bit of the essence of what Shavuos is about in terms of Avodas Hashem, I'd like to begin with a disclaimer that this is not in any way a halachic shiur telling anybody what to do on a halachic level. Everyone should follow their custom of their family. If they don't have a custom, ask a rav what to be done. But in no way, when we're going to bring different opinions down here today, in any way are we paskening. We're just presenting ideas. With this in mind, the one question that I'd like to try and Mirza Shem deal with today, it's a big question. We think of Shavuot, and two things come to our mind, Torah and cheesecake. So obviously, Torah is understood. It's Mamatan Tartena, the time we got the Torah. Where does cheesecake come from? Where does milchik come from? Let's try to unravel the milchik mystery. So Rav Eliyahu Kitov brings down in Source 1A, in some communities, it's customary to eat cakes baked or fried in honey. In accordance with the verse, the Hebrew is, Pasuk in Shir Shirim, Dvash v'chalav tachlis shonech. Milk and honey are under your tongue, which is understood to be an allusion to one who attains the knowledge of Torah. So Dvash v'chalav tachlis shonech, this is why we have chalav. And as we'll talk about, some people are careful also to have honey as well. Many have a tradition of first eating dairy foods and then eating a meat meal to fulfill the obligation. You should be joyous on the festivals, which our sages explain as an obligation for one to eat meal of meat. And therefore, you should be careful to have a milchik meal, bench, and then have wait in half hour, wait an hour, and then have a meat meal, making sure to eat something in between, a clean tablecloth, etc. Some other reasons why we have milk. Meat, I understand, is a yantif. Why do we have milchik? So Sefer Matamim notes that in eating dairy foods on Shavuot is 2D. We recall Moshe Rabbeinu's merit that he was taken out of the Nile when he was an infant on this day, and he refused to nurse from the Egyptians' milk. Another explanation in E is that they had their utensils weren't ready to eat kosher animals. They only now learn the laws of Shechita, so therefore they weren't able to eat from the fleishich meals until they kashered their kelim. Another explanation is that the Jews before giving up the Torah were afraid to eat milk because it might be ever menachai, part of a limb of a live animal. So now that they learned they could have meat, so they had meat. There is a gematria in G that chalav is 40 in gematria, the numerical value, which is how long Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. There's also an idea in 3D that one of the names of Har Sinai, there are eight names, one of them is Gavnunim, so therefore we have gvina, we have cheese, to remember Har Sinai, or Rav Pinchas Karvitz, the Torah is only b'mekayim, one who has humility, and the machalei chalav are more of a humble type of food. The Chidushei Arim brings down in Source 4 that the 365 days a year correspond to 365 lo tafsei lavim, prohibitions of what we're not allowed to do, and every prohibition is connected to a different day in the calendar year, which is fascinating in its own right. The Shavuot is connected to the lav of lo tvash al di b'chalev imo, that you're not allowed to cook a kid in its mother's milk. So here we have milk and then meat to make a distinction, a separation between the two. That was a very quick overview of some of the ideas behind eating milchik. Obviously, there has to be a lot more going on here than just some of these allusions that we make such a big deal about milchiks. So I'd like to share a number of ideas, and we'll see that we're really going to come away with one or two main points that are very much interconnected about Shavuos, but we're going to see them from many different vantage points in Eretz Hashem. The first approach that we'll take is source number five, the Rama, who says that eating chalav on the first day of Shavuos, v'nirilei hatam shu kemo shnei tafshilim shochlim b'leil Pesach, v'zechel u'Pesach v'zechel u'Chagiga. On the night of Pesach, we have the egg, we have the shank bone to remember the Korban Pesach, Korban Chagiga. Likewise, on Shavuos, kein ochlim achal chalav achar kach v'achal batzar. We have a milchik meal and a fleishich meal. And since you're not allowed to have the same loaf of bread for milchiks and fleishichs, we bring a milchik loaf and a fleishich loaf and on the table. And the table's been kum korban. And that way we have a remembrance of the shnei alechem, the two loaves of bread that were the special korban that was brought on Shavuos. Now, according to the Rama, it would seem that a person would have a milchik meal, they would wash, they would have bread with the milchik meal, and some people say you should even cook it to be milchik, so your mamish will eat it at the milchik meal. Then you wait a short while, a half hour, and then have a fleishich meal without benching in between, so that in one meal, and with the fleishich meal, you'll have another loaf of bread, that in one meal you have a zecher of the shtei alecha. The Magen Avraham and others are against this and saying, no, you can't have in the same meal milchiks and fleishich. You have to bench in between, wait a half hour between the milchiks and the fleishich. Some people have been very strict to wait a half hour to even begin the meal, not to say, well, I'll sing and I'll have fish or, you know, or melon or something. No, to mamish wait a half hour. And that's why I say it's very complicated and everyone has to follow their minhag and ask their rav. But it would seem, according to this, that if you would have two meals, they are mamish separate two meals, a milchik meal and a fleishik meal. Which brings us to Reb Nevenzal, source number six, who was asked, do you have to eat chalavi dafka b'toch sugas pat, specifically within a meal? So he said, if you hold like the Rama, then zecher l'shtei alechem, to remember the two loaves of bread that are brought as a sacrifice, so then it would seem that you have to have specifically a bread. But, he says, for other, you know, reasons that we mentioned, and more reasons we didn't even mention, it would suffice just to have a piece of cheesecake with kiddush. V'nira depata baba kistin havia kepat. And what a lot of people rely on is they have a kiddush with milchiks, and the milchik cheesecake and the milchik kishis, whatever you're going to have, those would be considered as if it were a bread-like substance. So in that way, you are having a remembrance of a bread, even though it's not a loaf of bread. And then after the kiddush and the bracha achrona, you then wait a half hour or an hour, depending on your minhag, and then have a fleishich meal. And in that way, even though you're not having bread, it's a zecher for the shtei alecha. Obviously, it's very complicated, and everyone follows their own minhag, but what interests me much more is there obviously seems to be here a tremendous emphasis on the shtei halechem, that somehow or other, whether we call our cheesecake and our quiches a type of a pata baba kisnin, and that's like a lechem, or we mamish have two meals or one meal with two different loaves of bread, we seem to be very much into the idea of shtei halechem. What is this idea of shtei halechem, the two loaves of bread? So I'd like to explore this as our first idea. So it's less so on chalav, why milk, it's more on why do we need to have two loaves of bread, and the easiest way to do that is to have a milchik loaf and a fleishik loaf. This is separate from the fact that I have two loaves at a meal. I'll just add this parenthetically. Yes, I have lecha mishnah at my yontif meal, but we all know that when I have a lecha mishnah, I can very easily just eat one loaf and not two loaves. So the fact that I have lecha mishnah, two loaves of bread, isn't going to remind me of the shtei halecha. I need to have two loaves that I'm going to eat something from both loaves. And the way to do that is have a milchik loaf and a fleishik loaf. Good. End the parentheses. Why are we making such a big deal about the shtei halecha? We don't make such a big deal about zecher l'korban chagiga and zecher l'korban pesach. Why are we making such a big deal about the shtei halecha? So Rav Reis in Pamei Moed tells us what the difference is. He says, on other holidays we have in Source 7, we have a focus on the holiday. Whether it's Matzah on Pesach or Sukkah or Lulav on Sukkot, there is something that we could literally hang our hat on. Shavuos, we have nothing. It doesn't even tell us in the Torah that it's the time of Matan Torah, the time of receiving of the Torah. So if I want to understand the essence of what Shavuos is about, I need to go into the Torah and see how the Torah describes this day. And what is unique about Shavuos, unlike any other holiday, and every holiday you have Korban Musafim, the additional sacrifices that were brought, what makes Shavuos unique, according to the Torah, is the Pasuk. There was a special korban that was brought on Shavuos. The korban was called the Shtei Halecha. It was two loaves of bread made of chametz, which is so unusual, because usually only matzah was allowed in on the Mizbeach and not chametz. This was brought, and with it came special sacrifices. Shiva kvasim, shnei elim, paralolas, the irizim l'chatan, shnei kvasim l'zivchei shalmei tzibur, and it had a whole slew of its own sacrifices that were brought with this korban. And in fact, this korban is called the mincha chadasha, the new gift we give to Hashem. It is referred to as Yom HaBikurim, U'B'Yom HaBikurim B'Avkivchem, Mincha Chadash Hashem Ashvosechem. This is gets its name. It's called Yom HaBikurim, the day of the first fruits, because we're bringing the first fruit of the grain. And therefore, if this is the name of the day, Yom HaBikurim, and this is what, according to the Torah, makes the holiday of Shavuos unique, therefore it must be in the arrow and eight, it must be the essential part of the day that it's called on this. And that's, now we can understand the Ramah, why we make such a big deal of having Shtei Alechem, because that is the greatest way to recall the way the Torah is remembering and describing and celebrating what Shavuos is about. So to have the Shtei Alechem, to have two loaves of bread and to actually eat from both loaves, reminds us of what the essential part of Shavuos is about, according to the Torah, which was this sacrifice. On a philosophical level, what does the Shtei Alechem represent? So obviously there are many approaches. Rav Reis brings down in 10 the Tzfas Emes. The Tzfas Emes explains that the Shtei Alechem, the two loaves, reflect two different ways that God sustains man. We have in the history the manna that came from heaven, that sustained the Jews in the desert. And that's clearly a gift from heaven where man is passive, where God is providing for all the needs of the people. And then there's hamotzi lecha mina aretz, then there's bread that comes from the ground. And that's a reflection of the work of man. And that's a reflection where man has the ability to take of the physical and be able to elevate it to the spiritual. And with this we understand the idea of chametz, because really, to have, you know, as close to spiritual as possible, you have matzah. Matzah michla demnusa, the bread of amunah. It's the bread of refuah. Chametz represents the maga, the handling of mankind. It represents time. It represents other ingredients. It represents our human limitations. All year round, we try to avoid that. Shavuos is different. Shavuos is the time where he notes in 14, Ulam korbano shel chag haShavuot tzarich lavo davka mina chametz. It has to come from chametz. Why? Because chametz represents b'midah mitzuyemet eina b'tzuratam mekorit. It's not from its original state. It's rather takes effort from mankind. Ulam skula chag haShavuot shavo gam hagashmiut asuya litalot litkadesh b'kedush shel shabala. The koach of Shavuos is that the physicality, that the chametz, that the Yetzirah and all that it represents has the ability to be elevated and sanctified with the Kedusha above. The godless of Shavuos is that the lechem min haShemayim, the man, which is what one of the loaves represent, the lechem min haAretz, the toil of man, which is what the other one represents, the physicality. It's a day when the spirituality and the physicality come together and are offered together. It's a day of chametz. It's a day of the Yetzer Hara. It's a day of the physical being in all of its presence is found and able to be offered on a spiritual level to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's a day the physical and the spiritual meet. This helps us explain a very famous Gemara, Machlokin, the Gemara between Rabbi Elias and Rabbi Yoshua, found in Source 17. Rabbi Yoshua holds that one should devote part of a yantif to enjoying oneself and part to spiritual enjoyment. Rabbi Eliezer holds no, it's impossible to combine both. You need to really spend time kulo l'Hashem for Hashem. But the Gemara concludes that on Shavuos, on Atzeret, even Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you should be involved in kulo l'Hashem, he holds that on Shavuos we are obligated to have a meal because it's the day Yom Shenitna Bo Torah. So this is very bizarre. Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that it should be completely for God, one would think that on Shavuos, which is a spiritual day of giving the Torah, for sure it should be completely for God. It wouldn't even be a question. But no, it's counterintuitive. Shavuos Dafka, the mitzvah is Hayom that we have on Shavuos is Dafka to have the meal. So how do we understand this? So the commentaries find great difficulty in Gemara. In particular, they ask why the fact that Torah was given on Shavuos means one should eat and drink. It would seem more appropriate to devote oneself to spiritual pursuits. So he quotes here, in A Light in Time, the very famous Gemara. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim and the angels saw him there to get the Torah, they said, "My Ludisha, how is it possible that a human being should be up here to get the Torah?" So Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "You answer the Malachim." So Moshe Rabbeinu said to the angels, "Do you have parents that you have to honor? Do you have a physical nature to do the divine will? Torah belongs down here in this world." And Moshe was able to show the Malachim that Torah belongs down here and not up in Shemayim. The end of 18, the Gemara, this Gemara in the Arrow teaches us about the centrality of the body in receiving the Torah. The fact that human beings are attached to the physical world is the very reason we merited the Torah. It's not that we're spiritual beings, that we should spend the day in spirituality. Then the Malachim could have kept, the angels could have kept the Torah. No! What allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to win the argument is the fact that we are physical. We can now understand the connection between Shavuos and the focus on one's body. On Shavuos, the spiritual and physical worlds combined at Sinai. On this unique occasion, the purely spiritual Torah was clothed in physical garb in order that we could elevate ourselves through its observance. And this is the whole idea of what Shavuos is about. On Shavuos in 19, there's a special energy whereby physicality and spirituality need not conflict. Rather, they can work together to bring about a greater revelation of Hashem's honor. In this vein, the Maharal knows that Shavuos is the only festival on which we offer a communal korban shlomim. Shlomim means part of it goes to the Gavoa, to God, it's burnt, part to the priests, and part to people. So normally only a yachid, individual, brought a korban shlomim. You have to be at a certain level to eat it. Only on Shavuos was a communal korban shlomim brought, of which we eat part and the rest goes to Hashem. For on this day, there is peace and a strong connection between the upper and lower worlds. And with this, we can appreciate in 21 what the Binas Yisrael points out. Why don't we have a mitzvah hayom? Why don't we have a lulav, a sukkah? And the answer is we don't need it because the entire day is a mitzvah hayom. What does that mean? It means that when I sit down to have a suda, a meal, I'm taking my physical food and I'm saying brachos and divrei Torah and eating it appropriately. I am taking the physicality and elevating it. That's Shavuos. One goes to the bathroom and says an asher yatzar and is able to attach the physical to the spiritual. That's Shavuos. You don't need to have a special mitzvah on Shavuos. Acting in a way where the body, soul comes together in perfect sync, that is the essence of what Shavuos is about. From your dwelling places, which means whatever situation you may be in, we have to work on trying to create the message of the Shtei Lechem, the Lechem of above, the spiritual, and the lechem, the bread of below, the physical, meld together. The Torah does not stay up in heaven with the angel. It comes down to the physical body, because Shavuos is about a time where our physical and our spiritual meet together, and there is no division between the two. To get a sense of what this is like, the Lekach V'Libuv offers us a gewaltic understanding of a very difficult Gemara. The Gemara in 22 is about that why was there a Chorban, a destruction of the First Temple? So the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Shelo halchuba, they didn't walk in the ways of Torah, on which the Gemara says, Shelo berchuba Torah tchila, they didn't say a blessing over Torah beforehand. Now obviously it can't mean, there's a lot of understanding, but it's hard to believe that the Jewish people didn't wake up in the morning and go to shul and say, Birkas HaTorah, blessings over the Torah. So the answer is, of course they did. So what does it mean they didn't say Birkas HaTorah? What does it mean? This is a connection between saying Birkas HaTorah and Shelo halchuba. They didn't walk in the ways, so here's Pshat. If you think about it, it's a very fascinating idea. In the morning, we say the bracha of La'asot B'divrei Torah, to involve ourselves in Torah, Asher B'charbanu, Birkas HaShevach, blessing of praise, and then we say a couple of psukim, Birkas Kohanim, Eilu Dvarim, good. Now let's say, right, so I just said a Birkas HaTorah, I just learned a little bit of Torah, and let's say the rest of the day I don't learn any Torah, 5 o'clock, I pick up Parsha, and I learn something. Do I have to say a bracha again? I didn't learn all day. So the answer is no. Why not? Because the bracha you said in the morning was la'asot b'divrei Torah. It didn't say l'lmel Torah, to learn Torah. It was la'asot b'divrei Torah, to involve yourselves in Torah. So whatever you're doing during the day, you have Torah on your mind. So you're in business, and you have to ask yourself, is this mutter to do? Is this permissible to do? Is this ribbis? Is this taking interest? Is this Lashon Hara? Is this whatever the halacha is? And when you're involved in the home, you're doing laundry, you're doing the dishes, you're saying, well, this is a chesed to my family. There's all day you're la'asot b'divrei Torah. What was the problem in the generation of Yirmiyah, the generation of the destruction? Is that they made a split, that yes, they said Birkas HaTorah, and they learned a little Torah, but the rest of the day, Shelo Halchuba, their minds weren't on Torah. So Taka, when they came home that night and they picked up a Sefer, they were really obligated. They had a Hesech Hades. They had an interruption in their thought. They were obligated to say another Birkas HaTorah. That's what it means. Shelo Berchuba Torah Tchila. They didn't say a Birkas HaTorah when they picked up the Torah later in the day. Why? Because Shelo Halchuba, because they weren't involved with it all day. It was a Hesech Hadas. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is to be, in the language of Lekach HaLibuv in 24, Shavuos Uzman Matan Torateinu. Shavuos is the time of receiving the Torah. Zman Shel Kabbalat Ola Torah, the time of receiving the burden of the Torah. Matan Torah Yazman Shebnei Shel Kiblu Ola Tzvamata Oliyot Avdei Hashem. We took upon ourselves to be the servants of God, to be Mushubadim L'Hashem Yisbarach Ke'eved, to be a slave to Hashem, as enslaved to Hashem as a servant. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, wherever we go, whatever we do, our mindset is God. Our mindset is, how do we connect with God? Which leads us to 25, the beautiful idea of the umption of a Rebbe, of why do we have a siyum, a food, after we finish learning, a masechet, whatever we learn. Because after you learn, you have to see how much of Torah entered into you, how much of Torah affected you. And what's the litmus test? Let's see how you eat. Let's see how you act. Are you a mensch or not? So my friends, on the first level, the focus isn't so much on the chalav as much as having a milchik and a fleishich. It's the shtei alechem. Perhaps we could argue that the lechem in a shemaim, as we'll see, is connected to the chalav. It's connected to the life force. The lechem in a aretz, the physicality, is clearly connected to the meat, to the physical part of this world. On Shavuos, the milk and the meat come together. on the level of the spiritual and the physical in one sutta or close by together, because it's a day when the physical and the spiritual are able to meld together. And unlike other religions where physical and spiritual are totally foreign, Judaism is about being able to elevate the physical to the spiritual. We bring mamish chametz on the mizbeach. That is the challenge of what Shavuos is all about. So my friends, that's level number one. Level number one is clearly our ability to be able to tap into this synthesis on Shavuos. Now let's move specifically into why milchiks. Source 27. Nagu chazon l'moei b'tfusos Yisrael l'cho b'chag ha-Shavuos v'achalei chalav u'dvash. V'atam katav mishtabru adu mishum shatarnim shalal u'dvash v'chalav. Why do we have milk and honey? Because the Torah is compared to milk and honey. So Chafetz Chaim asks on this, but don't we also say in Tehillim that mesuki mitvash, that Torah is even more sweeter than honey. So why are we comparing it to just honey? It should be something even sweeter than honey. So the Chazon L'Moed answers the following. He says that honey is not only about its sweetness. There's another property of honey that we're focusing in on here. And it quotes here a Rashba that teaches us that if something is cut up and lands in the honey, right, an ant lands in the honey, so you'd be allowed to, you know, it was there for a year, you'd be allowed to eat the honey because the cut up food becomes transformed into the honey. But if it's a gushacha, let's say a grasshopper falls into the honey and it stays as a whole grasshopper, then you wouldn't be allowed to eat the honey because it remained as a whole. So the difference is if something is cut or something is whole. What does this have to do with us? He says this is the mindset of what Torah is about. When we're talking about eating foods made of honey on Shavuos, it's talking about you have to take on the property, as we just mentioned, of honey. Which means that in Torah terms, you have to be somebody in 28 who's going to be able to be shover atzmo v'nichna l'ritzon ha-Torah u'mevata ritzona l'ritzon ha-Shem azu nefach l'chefza shel dvash chefza shel Torah. And I just had this last week where I bought a certain item and a family member questioned this kashrus, and I was sure that it was kosher. But I said, okay, I'm ready to ask. Even though I was sure I was right, it's still an idea. You're ready to be nechna. You're ready to humble yourself and admit if you were wrong, you were wrong. There's an idea of being shofar. There's an idea of hachna when you are able to break yourself and submit yourself. So then, just like in a honey, something that's broken takes on the property of honey, you take on the property of Torah. You become a chas of Torah. But if you say, no, I'm right, I'm not going to ask, and, you know, I don't need to hear das Torah, I know better, so then you don't become a chas of Torah. You remain in the honey, whole as it is. You are whole, the honey is whole, but the twain shall not meet. The goal of eating honey on Shavuos is to remind us that we need to submit ourselves in a broken state, in a machnia state, in a humble state, that we are ready to accept upon ourselves what Das Torah is, even if it goes against what's comfortable or easy for us. And in that way, we turn into a Chesed Shel Torah. And with this, he explains in 28, the way we can reconcile two statements in Talmud which seem to contradict each other. One statement says that the first question asked after 120 years is, did you involve yourself in Torah? And another Gemara says the first question asked is, Asasa v'natata b'emuna, did you involve yourself in business ethics faithfully? But really, they're one and the same question. The question is, were you able to take Torah and make it a entity of your life? Were you able to make yourself a Torah-dicka person? You see, the goal of Yiddishkeit is not just to, you know, learn Torah, but to become Torah. You know, it's not like the Sunday New York Times where you have an arts and leisure section, then a business section, and a sports section, and a religion section, and they're all different sections. No! There's only one entity. That's called being an Eved Hashem. Can you turn yourself into an Eved Hashem that you think in this way? You process in this way. Your whole focus is this way. That's what it means to be a Devash, to be a Torah Dikah person. That's the goal of Shavuos. And that explains as well by the Chalav, by the milk in 29. Milk that comes from a camel you can't eat. Why not? Because anything that comes from an animal that's Tameh, it's Tameh. Milk becomes part of who you are. The dam, the blood, turns into milk. That's the goal. The goal is our blood, is our milk, is our essence. We are a Torah Dikah person. And as he notes here, based on the Shlach Kadosh, eating the Simanim of Rosh Hashanah as well as honey and milk. On Shavuos, it's not just enough to eat them, but is your mindset this mindset. And that's why it's very important in preparing the food, the milchic foods, to feel like the ideas that we're mentioning here, that our whole focus is that I want to be a Torah Dikah Yid. I want to be my whole essence, my whole blood, my whole gestalt of who I am, to be honey, to be Torah. I'll just mention parenthetically a slightly different spin on this that he brings in 30 and 31, and then we'll continue with this idea. So I'm just adding almost a tangent, but it's a beautiful idea, not but, and it's a beautiful idea. He quotes here from Rav Huttner, quoting an idea that Reb Chaim of Voloshin was the one who changed the phrase of a Talmid Yeshiva, a student of the Yeshiva, to B'nai Yeshiva, to the son of a Yeshiva. And he says it's like the difference between a cook and a person who nurses. Both provide food. A cook is separate, it's distant. They give the food, but that's it. When a person nurses, they're giving of themselves to the child. A teacher, a Rebbe, is not like a college professor, walks in and walks out. That's a Talmid, that's a student. But a B'nai HaYeshiva means that the Rebbe is giving of themselves to the student. They're giving of who they are. And that's the idea, he says, that the Dvash is to be able to become a Chesa Shel Torah. The honey is that you learn. And then the Chalav is that you then give over what you've learned and nourish and support and give life to others as well. Which is also a beautiful idea of what the Chalav represents. It's not just enough for us to learn, as we've spoken about in the past, of Nasa Adam, of Adam La'amol Yula, Lumor Amanat L'lame. Our job is to teach as well. When we teach, we become like milk, where we give over life and life force to others. And that's really the goal of Yiddishkeit, is not to keep our knowledge to ourselves, but to be able to share what we've learned with others as well. Now, if we end the parentheses here, going back to this idea that the chalav, the milk, becomes our life source, we can appreciate just one more idea on this second level. The Lekach Valibov notes that in describing the Jewish people spiritually at the time they were in Egypt, Pasuk in Yecheskel Tetzayin Vav says, we read it in the Haggadah, Ve'evor alayech ve'erech mitvoseset b'damayech. I passed over you and I saw that you were wallowing in the blood. What was this blood? It was the blood of impurity. The blood represents our passions, our desires. Ke'edamu ha'nefesh. Every year, Klal Yisrael's job is to be metahir that blood, to purify that blood, to elevate that blood, till we get to the point, as the Sfasemes points out in 33, Sfasemes mevayer b'tzem min Yisrael lachom achalei chala b'chag ha'shavuot, ki la'achar avodas yimei ha'sfira, after working in the times of Sfira, kasher adam mitahir etzmo mikol lichlut damim tmeim, that we've now purified ourselves from all this impure blood, we are now able, nakar hadam v'nasech chalav, the blood inside of us, like the blood of a mother's milk, turns into milk. To hint to us, to remind us of our job to take our blood and turn it into milk, we eat machalei chala b'shavuot. And this is hinted at, says the Zohar Kodesh, the Rav Shitter Rebbe, in V'omar lach b'damayich chayi, the lamed in lach, b'damayich the bet, and the chet in chayi, moving it around, is chalav. Our job is to take b'damayich chayi, and this blood you will live, and turn it into milk. And this is really the job of blood. We know the red represents din, represents judgment. Right? Im yuchatatchem kishanim, if your sins are like crimson, kashela gelbinu, they should become pure like the snow. Our job is to turn the judgment, the red of the blood, into the white of the chesed and the rachamim. So, my friends, the first level is a synthesis between the physical and the spiritual. The second level is, it's not just synthesis. It is a total transformation that I think in a Torah-tical way. I act in a Torah-tical way. My whole essence is it. And it's so much of my essence that whoever I meet, I give over a Dvar Torah. Whoever I meet, I want to share with them Divrei Torah. Because this is what I'm about. I'm a person who is overflowing with wanting to disseminate the Torah that I've learned. And this is further represented by my challenge, our challenge, to take our blood, to take our taivas and our desires that are negative, and through the experience of Sfira, v'omar lach b'damayi chayi, to turn the red blood into the white milk, the milk of chesed. Which leads us to the third answer. The Bnei Saskar in 35 notes, he says, Minhag of Seinu Torah hi lecho machalei chala v'chaget shavuos. Nira lefarei shatam, then chalav romeis lechesed. Chalav, milk, represents kindness, which is the idea of the whiteness. It's hinted at again in the Pasuk, v'nei lehagid b'boker chastecha, to tell of God's kindness in the morning. The cheder chastecha, the bed and boker, and lahagid, spell out chalav. Again, mixing around the orders. Because it's about lahagid baboker chastecha, the morning, the time of clarity, the time of chesed. And then like benching, where we speak about nevarech le'elokeinu, where by the food, it comes from the side of din, of judgment that God supports us. Torah is Chesed, Baruch Hu et Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Torah is Kol Kulo Chesed. What does this mean, that Torah is Chesed? My friends, this idea is really something fundamental that we need to think about as well on Shavuos, obviously all year. There's an idea in Source 37 that's brought down, the Chovos Levavos, where he speaks about the different kindnesses that Hashem has done to his creation, and that we have to be makir tov, that we have to appreciate these kindnesses. And he ends by saying this particular section, V'agadola shebetovo sheitiv bahem habore la'adam, and the greatest one of the kindnesses that Hashem has did, is v'hariyah chazaka alav ha'tarah ha'netuna l'moshe nevi'o alav ha'shalom. The greatest kindness he did was to give us the Torah, that we have the ability to have proof, to have the ability to interact with God in this world. And he goes on to explain that if we didn't have Torah, we, like Avraham Avinu, would have to figure out that there is a Borei Olam, that there is a creator in this world, that there is a purpose in this world, that we're here for a reason. Hashem did us such a great favor. Instead of spending our whole lives trying to figure out where is God, how does God work, He gave us the Torah. He gave it to us black on white that we understand how the world should work. Ashreinu matov chokeinu, how fortunate is our portion that we have it in front of us black on white. Rav Asisyahu brings down as a maisa of once a mashgiach's wife got, I believe it was a mixer, as a package sent in the mail. She was very happy. Then she was very sad. So her husband said to her, why are you sad? She says, I got this very fancy machine, but I don't know how to use it. He says, if it's a fancy machine, it must come with instructions. Look again in the packaging. And sure enough, she found the instructions. And Mashkiach says, oh, this is proof of Torah Min HaShemayim. Because God would never give us such a complicated world unless he came with a manual. And the manual is the Torah. But my friends, and this is so fundamental, that we have to be able to integrate within us, as the Das Torah writes, Ki HaTorah 38 Be'etzem Mitziutahi Ahava. The whole essence of Torah is love. Even though Hagam Shekol Mitzvos HaTorah Mitzuvim Anu L'Kayimam Be'ahava, Omnam Zeh Inyan B'Meisa Mitzvah V'lo Me'etzem Mitziutah. Because you're right, the mitzvahs are the old Zeros Melech Aleinu. We have no choice, we have to do mitzvahs. But Torah itself is the means of communication, it's love. HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'ava. That Hashem has chosen us with love. Abbas Olam Beis Yisrael Amcha Ahavta. Torah U'mitzvos Chukim Mishpotim Otanu Limadita. It's through this love that Hashem has given us Torah. This is what we need to understand. The Torah hi ava atzma. And the Saba of Kelm takes this one step further. And he says, the Gemara in Sota tells us that the Torah begins with Gemilus Chesed, clothing Adam and Chava. And it ends with Gemilus Chesed, bearing Moshe Rabbeinu. Why does the Torah begin with Chesed and end with Chesed? Because the physical chesed is the reflection, here goes, double underline in 39, Ki ikar matan Torah hi gemilus chesed la'adam. The whole giving of the Torah, which we just described as love, is described as the greatest gemilus chesed, the greatest kindness. L'lamdo umnos asher yichya ba b'chaye, chaye ad l'netzach nitzachim ba'oneg va'eden. It is the medium to be able to live in this world and the future world forever with this Torah. Wow. When we make these quiches and cheesecake, we have to invest in our mindset that we're making it with milchik, with milk, with milk products, cottage cheese, cream cheese, whatever you're using, all of the above. 20%, 100%, 2%, doesn't matter the percent. It matters the percent of love and chesed you put into it, not how much fat you put into it. Are you putting in the feeling that I'm making this because this reflects 100% love of Kodesh Baruch Hu to us? And when I'm preparing this yontif food, I am investing 100% of my love. And I hope my family's love, when they eat it, to feel this love to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kamayim lapanim. Kamayim hapanim el hapanim. As a face in the water, it's reflected. When we feel this love, when we eat these milchic foods, when we drink this milk, and we feel that white and that feeling of purity, of love, we should remind ourselves that today is the day of Mamad Har Sinai, the day of Torah, and Torah is kol kulo ava, it's kol kulo chesed, it's all about love and kindness. And I need to tap into that feeling of love and kindness, so that on Shavuos I'm thinking about how much I love Hashem, how much I want to be dedicated to Hashem, how much I want to make a more concerted effort this year to work on my relationship and to be able to see God's love and kindness permeating my entire life. Which now leads us, my friends, to the final level. If I have synthesis between body and soul, if I have becoming a Torah Dikka person 24/7, if I have understanding that I'm transforming the blood into milk, then I have the understanding of turning judgment into love. I have an understanding that the whole idea of Shavuos is a day of love, a day of connection, a day of feeling that Torah is HaBocher Ba'amo Yisrael Ba'ava. We were chosen with love. The whole Torah works around the theme of Chesed, because all Torah is the greatest Chesed that Hashem has done for us, to give us this system in order that we have halacha, Jewish law, that takes with us every step of the way how to deal with every situation under the sun. But our challenge is not only to know this, but to feel this. Which leads us, my friends, to the final approach that I'd like to focus in on, Mirtz Hashem, for today. Rav Nebenzahl says, Ba'kol panim, source 40, Minag Yisrael, L'chol gam achalim chalavim b'charek ha'shavuot, And they're different minhagim, as we mentioned. And he says, perhaps another remez is the idea of mechalav, from milk. We take products from milk. It's the two words, mechalav, memche is moach, my brain, and lamed bet is lev, my heart. Mishum shibetora tzarech moach valei, because the Torah requires both the intellectual and the heart. Gam sechel v'gam regesh shel kedusha. And that's where Rav Pinkus Atzal speaks about in Source 41. He says the time of Zman Matan Torateinu is a time to live with Dveikus, with Hashem. The whole beauty of Shavuos is a time of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person should find the Hana in the Simcha in Torah. HaMatara v'Tachli Shel Shavuos, the goal of Shavuos, Lahagia, to reach Lahargoshos Niflos HaTorah, to feel the gadlus of Torah, the beauty of Torah. Shalom Nirzela, seek believing without, we don't want to stop learning Torah. And that's the gadlus of Shavuos. And that's why we eat milk and dvash and honey, because there's nothing sweeter than Torah. We have to feel the sweetness. My friends, the challenge on this level is the moach and lev combination. Not only to know it intellectually, but to feel it emotionally. And as Rav Dessler points out, in Sanctuaries of Time in English, Mechtav in Hebrew, and 43, he says, we may hear God's voice, but we still have to absorb its message. The one sure means of absorbing it is to want to absorb it. A child can be coaxed to eat, but he cannot be forced to eat. If he is determined to reject the food he's given, he has one sure defense. He can spit it up. Similarly, accumulation of Torah in the mind without willing acceptance in the heart can be dangerous. This is a situation which can easily lead to rejection and rebellion, since the unpurified will resents the demands inherent in the Torah knowledge. Our rabbis warned against this danger when they told us that through the Torah can be life-giving, it also can be lethal. How can one conceive our holy Torah, our life, and the length of our days of ever being lethal? So Rava says it's life-giving to those who approach it with their right hand. It is poisonous to those who approach it with their left. The right-handed approach, explains Rashi, means to delve into it with one's strength, to be concerned with discovering its secret. A person's main strength lies in his right hand. From this it follows that the left-handed approach is a half-hearted approach, where one's interest is not fully engaged. The half-hearted approach is dangerous. It could, God forbid, lead to rejection of Torah. The way to acquire Torah, therefore, is to learn it in depth with excitement and a sense of discovery. And this way we'll learn to appreciate the sweetness of Torah, and this will penetrate into the obtuseness of our hearts. The goal is to feel the sweetness of Torah, that there's nothing more sweeter than this. And to feel this. There's a story told of a certain young Talmid Chacham who had heard that in the 1930s there's going to be a great chazan, one of the world-renowned chazanim, was going to be singing, I believe it was Hallel in the Chor Vashur. So he begins his trek from Me'ah Shearim to the Chorva. And then he says to himself, you know what, maybe I should just be going back to learn Gemara. You know, it's take a lot of time. I don't know what to do. So he turns back. And as he's turning back, he sees that other Talmidei Chachamim, who's very young, were much greater than him, were going to the Chorva. He says, well, if they're going, then I can go. So he goes to the Chorva, and he begins to listen to this chazan. And he was taken from this world to another world. He said, wow, I have never felt such connection, such dveikus. And then he stopped himself and said, this is how I should feel over every page of Gemara. He picked himself up, walked out of shul, and walked back to Me'ah Shearim. 50 years later, he walks with his grandson past the Chor Vashul, and he points in there and he tells him the story and says, here I beat my Yitzhahara. Here I realized that there's nothing sweeter than a Daf Gemara. This individual is Rav El Yashiv, and he said, I appreciated music. I understood the godless of the music. But I also understood that sweetness that I felt and that spiritual connection I felt, my challenge was to feel it in the Torah learning itself and not just something outside of it. For us, my friends, we're not on this level. We need to hear the Chazanos to inspire us, but at least allow it to inspire us. Not that it's very nice and it ends there. We need to be able to have the sense of discovery, the sense of newness in approaching Torah. And that's one of the greatest challenges that we have. How do we connect, as Rabbi Gedalia Shor is quoted in 45, the Moach and the Lev? How do you connect the Adat Hayom that you know today, Vashevel Salvavecha, and you bring it to your heart? Rabbi Gedalia Shor notes in 45 that the greatest, in 46, the great challenge that we have is in past generations when they would hear something, they would stop. They would integrate it into who they are, and it became them. And that's what they focused it on. Once they had it down, then they went on and learned other things. Today, what happened? We hear a shiur, and then we switch, you know, on an MP3, or on a computer, or wherever we are. We say, oh, I heard part of the shiur. It's interesting, but you know what? Let me hear another idea, and I go to another shiur. And that one's a little bit too boring, so I go to another one, and I go to another one. I have a lot of information, yediot shemekifot et adam, but not velo yediot shemechayevet oto, but not information that's going to demand a change, demand action. As the Ramban says, v'asher takum min ha-sefer, when you get up, techapes v'asher lamata, and yishbo davar shetuchal l'kayimo. That's the challenge of learning, that not only to know something, but am I implementing it? Shavuos is a tremendous time. If we have the opportunity to learn, try to take a mitzvah that we do and be able to try to understand it, to learn it a little bit more, to be able to take that intellectual knowledge. I do X mitzvah, but what is it about? Why do I do it? What's the deeper reason, perhaps, for doing it? That will then lead us to have an emotional connection, not only an intellectual connection. And obviously, one emotional connection leads to many more. But it has to start somewhere. It may even start with focusing on Shehakol Nia B'Dvaro, that everything comes from Hashem, to walk around all day Shavuos, every bracha of Shehakol, screaming it out loud, wow, Shehakol Nia B'Dvaro, everything has come from Hashem and His Word. Wow, how much bounty I have, how much glory I have, how much chesed I have from Hashem. It's being able to take what we do all the time and bring it to the world of the emotional. Again, the synthesis, not only body, soul, but very deeply body, soul, the outer and the inner. And as Rav Dessler pointed out, the key to be successful in this emotional trek is one word, as Ratzo. As the Sfarim say, Miller quotes this, you need to have ratzon to have ratzon. You need to have a desire to dive into Hashem. Let me have a desire. But at least you have to have the desire to have the desire. Otherwise, you're not even going to have a desire to have the desire. It has to start with somewhere. And this is the idea that Kadosh Baruch Hu originally created the world of Midas Adin with strict justice, and then He added rachamim. The world, Allah b'machshava, the world of our mindset is the world of judgment. That's in our control. What happens in the physical world, that's the Olam HaMaisah, that's the world of action, that's Rachamim, that's outside of my hands. And he quotes here the Tzaddikim who say in middle 47, Sheet Ba'uma Adam, we're going to be asked, we're going to be held accountable for. Lama lo hirisho, lama sochelika ratzo, why haven't we shaken up worlds with our desire? Alchelika ishtokikos, on our level of desiring, of wanting. We are limited in our physical world, but open your mouth wide, want to have a closer relationship with Hashem, want to be a greater Baal Chesed, want to be a person with greater asmada, with better midos, want to be a person with greater kavanah and tefillah. Where is your ratzon? You may be hard. You may have little kids pulling at you and you can't have kavanah. At least you can want it. Or want to want it. And he said specifically, there are times, whether it's the times of Lachadodi, the times that you're walking, that you have Yeshiva Das, use these spiritual moments to dive into Hashem, to ask Hashem that I'm able to reach levels, at least have a vision. Yes, you may be planted down here on earth, but your mind should be up in heaven. Shavuos is a wonderful time to think about what are our spiritual goals? Where do I want to head? That's the nas of nishma. That's the avoda of nishma. To listen to where I can reach. Do I have a spiritual vision and a plan of who I can potentially be? And with this we can explain, as the Matan Chaim notes in Source 50, that we know that Chag HaShavuot, as we've spoken about in the past, is a Yom HaDin, is a day of judgment. It's a day while Rosh Hashanah, God judges us for all the physicality of the year. Shavuot is the day that God judges us for all of our spirituality. How many times am I going to learn and feel inspired? How many times am I going to daven and feel inspired? How many times am I going to do a chesed and feel inspired? All of this is decided on Shavuot. What do we do to make sure that we're going to be successful in this judgment? So obviously, it's 49 days of preparation. But the only mitzvah hayom that we have is the mitzvah of a suda, of actually eating a meal. Because when we eat the meal on Yontif, we're saying to Hashem, I enjoy this meal. I enjoy you, Hashem. I enjoy my relationship with you. From that place of enjoyment, from that place of the physical world that I've elevated to the spiritual, it's from that place I turn to Hashem and say, I yearn to continue taking the physical aspects of my life and turning them into spirituality. I yearn to feel the chesed, the kindness that you bestowed upon me, that I'm able to move it further into a spiritual relationship. It is at the time of the Suda that one can daven. Let me be able to always celebrate moments of closeness, moments of greatness, moments of moving beyond with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when this is our mindset, when this is our ratzon, then Hashem benches us with a year of tremendous spirituality. So therefore, my friends, what we try to see in summation, the Milchik mystery is still a mystery. Why do we have so many minhagim about eating Milchiks? That I can't answer. But what should we think about when we are preparing the Milchik meals? What should we invest into the cheesecakes? What we should be thinking about when we eat the Milchik meals? Number one is the Shtei Alechem, the Lechem, the bread from heaven, the bread from the earth, the combination, the Asher Yatzar and the Bracha, the Suda and the Bracha. We are a physical being. The Torah was given to us, but we have the ability to elevate it spiritually. Specifically on Shavuos, we have a meal, because that's the godless Adam, that's the godless of Torah. This is what we're celebrating today, that as physical beings, not like angels, we're able to take the Torah lifestyle and be able to elevate it. That's idea one. Idea number two, we have to become a Torah dikayid. We have to become submerged in honey. The milk that comes from us describes who we are. We are transformed beings. We think Torah thoughts. There's no hesachadad. It is one bracha all day, la'asot b'divrei Torah, because our mind never leaves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever I'm doing, I'm cooking a meal, I'm doing chesed for my family. It's all about understanding my role in this world. The job of Sfiras HaOmer, of turning the V'damayi Chayi into the blood, into the milk of chesed, the din, the judgment, into the white, the red of judgment, into the white of kindness. And that Torah, as B'nai Saskar says, is kol kulo chesed. Lahagi baboker chastecha, it's about recognizing the kindness of God. When we eat these meals, we say, thank you, Hashem, for giving us a Torah. Thank you for giving us this machine with the manual on how to live every aspect of my life. And it was given be'ahava, with love. And that's what Yishakenu Mishikot Piyu, that's what we have to return to Hashem, those kisses, those feelings of intimacy and closeness that we feel on Shavuos, that I realize how much Hashem loves me, and I want to return that love back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is what's found in the eating of the milchiks, the purity, the white, the chesed. Finally, we also have moach in leiv, that our job is to take the intellect and the emotions, the adat hayom v'shevos lovecha, to be able to turn Torah not into just an intellectual experience, but emotional experience. And the key component is ratzot. I have to have a desire. My desire opens me up to the emotional reality that this is what I want. I want to grow in Torah. I want to have a connection to Hashem. My meal is a symbolism of that I want to take my life and devote it totally to the enjoyment of this relationship. And even if I don't have the Ratzon, I have to have a desire to have a desire for that Ratzon. Because that's going to be the key to opening me up on a spiritual, emotional level to be able to take in all that Hashem has for us. Take those moments of peace, l'chadodi, those quiet moments that we have in life, those spiritual moments, and use those and say, Hashem, I'm a ladder down here, but I want to reach such a high level. And a Baal HaTayr Mitzayinoto, one who tries this help. Because every time we ask for this, every tefillah, every time we say, Ritzoneinu L'Ro Malkeinu, we want to see God, we want to see our King. Mitzayinoto, we create a malach that helps us move forward into this arena. And it's my prayer and hope that as we're mekabel the Torah once again this year on Shavuos, and we feel this love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu toward us, and we understand that our role is to make ourselves into a Torah Dika Yid, into a Baal Chesed, into what the whole essence of Torah is about, that we not only are able to accept the Torah on an intellectual level, we're able to accept the Torah on a spiritual, emotional level as well, and then we will have the entirety of our being, a complete synthesis, be mekabel the Torah, and we will all be zoche for a din, for a judgment, of kol kulo chesed, of complete mercy, in a year of tremendous ruchnias, a tremendous spirituality, that indeed will be able to move much higher on that ladder, closer to Hashem. Chag Sameach.